You're listening to the Washington AI Network podcast, the winner of two 2025 Communicator Awards, one for excellence in the science and technology category and an award of distinction for our episode on healthcare AI, featuring tech legends Ted Leonsis and Grant Verstandig. I'm Tammy Haddad, the founder of the Washington AI Network podcast. Before we begin this week's episode, I'd like to invite you to join us at the inaugural AI Honors on June 3rd at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in Washington, D.C. This black tie dinner, awards ceremony, and exclusive after party will convene 300 of the most influential leaders in artificial intelligence, from policymakers and industry to academia and civil society, to celebrate the extraordinary individuals shaping the future of technology and innovation. Visit aihonors.us to learn more. I hope to see you there.
Designed to enhance U.S. competitive advantages, the AI Plus Expo unites leaders who are shaping the future of emerging technologies. Attend for free June 2nd through 4th in Washington, D.C. Visit expo.scsp.ai.
Welcome to another special edition of the Washington AI Network podcast, recorded live at NVIDIA's 2025 GTC, their annual global conference that brings together developers, engineers, innovators, educators, the entire AI ecosystem. I'm Tammy Haddad, and today you'll hear from entrepreneurs and engineers working with NVIDIA's Inception Startup Program about how they're using NVIDIA technologies to propel the implementation of AI. We'll start at the center of the generative AI revolution with Howard Wright. He leads NVIDIA's startup ecosystem, working with over 19,000 innovative startups and democratizing access to NVIDIA's comprehensive AI platform. Then we'll turn to Faye Arjamandi, the founder and CEO of Mimic. At Mimic, Faye is pioneering hybrid cloud computing, working to enable any computing device to act as a cloud server. Next, we'll talk to Corey Summers from ArangoDB, where their graph database technology is revolutionizing complex data integration. And we'll close with Alec Guay and Todd McDivitt from Ntop as they use AI to accelerate every stage of product development. I'm Tammy Haddad here at the incredible GTC conference. Howard, we are close to the Candy Lounge. We did not indulge before this interview, but I'm so thrilled to be talking to Howard Wright. He's VP of Startup Ecosystem at NVIDIA. You must be the most popular man in this building. Everyone wants to be a startup supported by NVIDIA. No?
I'm one of the luckiest guys that you'll ever meet. I get to work with incredible folks at NVIDIA. And then more importantly, we get to work with the most disruptive, the most radical, audacious thought partners in our startups. So we have over 22,000 startups around the world that we get to work with. And our job is to nurture them, to nourish them, to give them access to the digital riches that we share, give them access to introductions to VCs, access to our enterprise customers. So it really is a virtuous cycle that we're trying to create. And yeah, I'm a pretty lucky guy too.
Yeah, and you're a popular guy. Yeah. So how does it actually work? Does a startup come to you and you say, I have this really good idea, can you guys help me?
It starts in a myriad of ways. Let's take a couple. Sometimes we get a direct call from a VC saying, hey, we have a startup, we're about to put some money in them. We make sure that they are on the latest and greatest versions of NVIDIA hardware software. Okay, yes, that makes sense. Sometimes they come out academia. Sometimes we get a call from one of these world-class universities and they say, a young man or young woman has just graduated, or somebody has dropped out and is going to start a startup, and they have put together a incredible C-suite, and we'd like to talk about healthcare life science, or we'd like to talk about robotics or humanoids. Sometimes at conferences like this, we bump into the proverbial three kids or four kids in a garage that have the energy and the intellect, Tammy, but they need just a little bit of help, a little bit of structure. They need to help them build their cap table correctly. We need to help them build their minimally viable product, get to market. Those are fun too. So typically they come in from a couple different places, and we'd like to think that we're in position to help the startup where they are.
So let's go to the VC side.
Yeah. Do they call you and say, hey, what do you got? We got all this extra money in our pockets. Are you like a matchmaker?
We facilitate introductions for the best and the brightest, the best VCs in the world, the best startups in the world. They organically find each other naturally, but we also help to make sure that all of the folks in our VC Alliance, our VCA.
Oh, what's the VC Alliance?
We have hundreds of VCs around the world that are partners with us. They get access to our startup community, and they also can look and figure out who's in which verticals and what are they doing, what level of maturity. A lot of those VCs not only invest alongside with, you know, corporate business development, but they are looking for the next unicorn. They're looking for the next $1 trillion valuation company. And we have the audacity to think that if we cultivate and if we build up the startup ecosystem, those unicorns will flourish inside Inception and through our VCA program.
One of the most surprising things about this conference is how far in advance NVIDIA is planning. And so for you, is it kind of like the fashion world in the spring? You'll be looking at autonomous vehicles, and in the fall, it'll be health AI.
No, it happens at the speed of light, and it changes quickly, and it changes for the week. So that's the beauty of our job, is that there is no day where we visit a partner or partners, or they visit us, that is boring or is like the day before. Think of it as we should be the eyes and ears for our e-staff. We should be the eyes and ears for NVIDIA board of directors. Our job is to captivate the hearts of the most important VCs and the most important startups and get them up and building on NVIDIA. And we do that with enthusiasm and hopefully some intellect every single morning.
Is there anyone that you want to point to as an example of somebody with a good idea but didn't know how to move ahead?
There are probably so many to name that we probably get you a short list of 10 or 12 versus because the description.
Oh, you're good. You're not going to just pick one.
No, because the description of what they do is usually more radical than what you've heard. Oh, I didn't know that you could do that. I didn't know that the protein folding is possible. Oh, I didn't know that we could take unstructured data and do this with like Coactive does. So we'd like to brag on all of our Inception partners, if you'll let us, but maybe we'll cut it down to a couple.
Yeah, we will. And I'll come over and talk to a few of them while I'm here. So at this conference, are you here in a supportive role? Are you looking for new people? Are you taking VCs around? What is your specific role here?
So yes to all three of those things. We have very specific partners that come in and want a guided tour. We want to talk to four or five, but we have these in mind and we'd like you to take it. Okay, fine. We want to say thank you to the existing Inception partners who have taken their whole week to be here with us and amplify our message in terms of who to accelerate everything and make sure that NVIDIA is the center of the Gen AI world. And then every once in a while, we bump into some of the kids from college that have this wild idea and then they pull on somebody's coat and they look like they're 16, 17 or so, but they have these radical ideas. Our job, our responsibility is to embrace that. And not to be too preachy, Tammy, but I don't think we're going to see another inflection point for Gen AI like we are right now.
So that's what I was going to ask you. When ChatGPT came out, and obviously this company had been talking about deep learning and all that for a long time, your phone clearly rang more. But were you surprised by that and surprised by the reaction?
No, we'd like to think that Jensen has been a 30-year overnight success, right? So these are things that he has predicted and put into motion, software, hardware, human power to do this. So I don't think we were surprised as potentially other folks. The moment is here and is accelerating. So I am surprised at how quickly ChatGPT moment began. And now look at all the LLMs and the FMs behind them. Look at all of the intellect, the research, the capacity, the funding that's going into Gen AI, because it's not just one vertical being rearranged. It's actually horizontally going across multiple verticals. And that's the fun part. I learn something new every day.
Well, that's why, in a way, this whole week feels like you're bigger than every government put together. because you're supporting governments, of course, and you're supporting startups. But also, I was really surprised to hear with the advancement of the technology and, you know, the battle for compute and power, right? That you're also addressing those issues.
Yeah. So water cooled, liquid cooled, all this requires NVIDIA folks say, you come here to do your life's work. All of these things have to be solved in our lifetime to make it better for our children and grandchildren, right? So we don't take ourselves seriously, but we take the direction of the board and Jensen very seriously. So with that being said, where do you start? Which is the most important vertical? Is it healthcare? Is it autonomous driving? Is it robotics? Is it some retail things? We think of those as all kind of job priority number ones, not force ranked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. For me, I lost my mother last year. So seeing what is happening with healthcare just in the last 9 months, 12 months is beautiful. And I don't know who said it, but someone said that the cure for some of these insidious diseases will be solved in a data center, not in a petri dish. I wish I could give that person credit, so I don't know who said it.
You can ask ChatGPT after the interview.
So maybe Howard Wright said it. I love when people talk in third person too.
Yeah.
And so the idea, me personally, that some of these diseases that affected all of our families for so long and so many generations, especially, you know, for children, maybe we get a little bit better. What does 3% better look like? What does 7% better look like? What is radical changes to the construction of via computational biology and other things. And we, NVIDIA, have a significant part to play in that in terms of enabling it. And that keeps us fired up every single day to do this good work.
Howard, I'm so glad to meet you. Howard Wright from NVIDIA. He's in charge of startups. And I got to tell you, these look pretty interesting, guys.
Yeah.
We'll learn more about them later. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thanks.
Now let's turn to cloud computing with Faye Ajramandi and learn how her company Mimic is harnessing AI to revolutionize and scale cloud computing and our hyper-connected world.
I just talked to Howard Wright, NVIDIA's lead startup guy, and he said, come and talk to Faye Ajramandi. Tell me about Mimic.
All right. Mimic is a software company. It's about enabling software systems that mimic human behavior.
Okay, like what?
We're moving from mobile application world to agentics native. Agentics means agents that can discover and collaborate with each other based on context.
Okay.
You and I just had no idea that we're going to talk to each other, right?
Right.
Howard introduced you, a prompt.
Right.
Came to the system. Hey, you should talk to Faye.
Right.
You came to me. Then we started understanding what's our purpose.
Right.
What we want to talk about. What is the context here? I'm not going to talk about my life history. I'm going to talk about Mimic.
Okay.
Because that's our purpose at this time.
Okay.
That's what software systems need to be, agentics native need to be.
Okay.
Mobile applications are about specific thing. You do this set of instructions. But when you talk about intelligent systems and agents, they need to be able to change based on the context.
Right. They have to make my life better.
They have to make my life better.
I've been waiting for this my whole life.
Yes.
Okay, how's Mimic going to help me?
So Mimic is about the software enablers that provide enterprises to build solutions that help enterprise and help consumer.
Right.
Which means that now in your home, your Nest, regardless of who is the provider, can discover your phone, regardless of who is the provider, that you guys are coming together at home.
Right.
And therefore I need to change the temperature based on your liking.
So Mimic is going to do all this for me.
Mimic is going to enable companies
to build solutions
to come together.
So you're the ones that are actually going to connect everything.
We are the one that enable agents, just like human, to discover, connect, and collaborate in an autonomous way based on the context and the need we have. Context is a frame of reference to reality. Who am I? Where am I? What am I about to do? Think of it this way. I always say the temperature. People say temperature was 56, 67. But if you tell me it's 2 degrees colder than yesterday, I have the context to decide what to wear. Data and data analytics is about the temperature. Context is about understanding how do I personalize to you. So that's why we say Mimic is the fifth element of AI. bringing it all together, enabling everything to collaborate just the same way that people collaborate with each other. On one side, you're a reporter. On another side, you're a mom. On another side, you're a driver inside the car.
Right.
These are different agents of your system that collaborates and sends with others.
You're amazing. Okay, you've connected us all. Tell me what you're doing here at the conference.
So we announced a series of partnership with public safe sector, Department of Defense, visual analytics companies for industrial space, whether intelligent space, whether you're in a factory, whether you're in an event, how the cameras can recognize you without intrusion to your privacy.
Right. Trust and safety. Anytime anyone says agentic, the hair stands up in the back of my neck. Like, hey, this sounds great. This sounds like the thing I've dreamed of, but where's the trust and safety
you
part?
You see, the problem is that today's technologies, today's application are sending all my data to someone else in the cloud.
Right.
To get processed. I call it digital intrusion. You help me with my security of home, but somebody's watching me.
Right.
But if you now tell this somebody, the camera itself, watch for my safety and notify me if there is an event, which means that now you bring the agents to the camera powered by NVIDIA GPU and CPU and, you know, other hardware capability. These are the hardware capability that like a muscle, but it's software that also enables these things. If you now tell the camera, watch for this event, which means that the camera can process, and when the event happens, informs you. So now you reach the safety and security of your system and what you want, and you didn't give up the privacy.
I like it.
Because you and I are private people. We don't want to sit naked in a glass house.
No, naked in a glass house. I've been talking about that for years. Who wants that? Come on, Faye. Look, everyone's looking at us. Who agrees? No naked in a glass house. Raise your hand. Come on now. Okay, who's going to pay for this service? Am I paying for it or companies? And what about AWS? You're talking about their cloud going out the window.
Well, I think we're talking about cloud getting proliferated everywhere.
Oh, they'll like that.
I'm coming from the first generation mobile internet. Okay. We were the people that created mobile internet. And cloud made sense because this device didn't have compute. So we went and built the data center and we said, okay, now our need was what? Watch a video that hosts in cloud. But now the traffic pattern is changing. Now we're in adult stage. I was a baby. Mom, can I do this? I go to the cloud and I ask my mom. Now we reach the maturity of digital solutions. Agents are like adults. We have a brain. I first call my API. Can I do this? Yes, okay, go do it. No, call Tammy for help, right? Cloud made sense when you didn't have the power of the brain. Now with the compute coming everywhere and connectivity being everywhere, this phone has more compute than the servers 10 years ago. And this is going to continue growing. So to us, it's about continuum compute. Location doesn't matter anymore. But what's important is that where is my data source? Here. Where do I need to take the action? Right? On here. Where the data source is, where the action is, therefore where my workload need to be.
Right.
So my workload is with me. And in fact, we are partnered with Amazon. And they see us as a most crucial part of the agentic system. We're partnered with a lot of different companies in automotive, factory automation, as I said, public
sector. Sure, this is simple.
This is common sense.
Right.
We kind of bring common sense to systems because today mobile applications don't have common sense. By the way, we created a lot of them and we know. But now we moved from childhood to adulthood and we need to rethink this agentic system, without giving our privacy away, without giving the security away, and cost. You ask about cost, right? Why are we the product? Because the cost of hosting these things in cloud is expensive, and they don't want to pass the cost to us. So we became a product of that data analysis and data information. But when I am able to process my workload where the source is, whether it's on a NVIDIA box or a phone or this, now I don't have that cost. So I'm now happy to pay for whatever I have to pay because I'm no longer the product.
Right. So what did Howard say when you first told him about this?
He said this is the sweetest spot of all sweetest spots inside NVIDIA.
Well, you can't ask for more than that. Faye, what a treat to meet you. I wish you all the best.
Thank
you. Come to Washington, let me know. We could use some Mimic in D.C. for sure.
Absolutely. We are working with public sector to bring this to D.C. and Department of Defense. So thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Now we'll hear from Corey Summers about ArangoDB's open source multimodal database designed for flexibility, scalability, and performance. ArangoDB plays a powerful role in data structuring and large language model integration.
I am in the center of the Inception Startup Group. We already talked to Howard, we talked to Faye, and now we're going to talk to Corey Summers, who not just created this technology, works on it, he also wrote a book about it for people like me that don't know anything about graphs.
Right.
Let's make sure that our audience knows when you say graph, what you mean, and explain what Arango does.
So ArangoDB is a relatively new type of database family called graph databases. A graph database is different than traditional relational databases where you store data in tables. The problem there is if you have one table related to another, you've got to join them together. And when you're joining tables, imagine 1,000 tables that you're joining, it can take a long time. There's a lot of latency to that, and it's hard to scale it up. With a graph database, all the relationships are in the graph to begin with. The connections are already in the data. You don't have to do all kinds of stuff like in the old style. I'll talk about that.
Okay.
But what that means for GenAI is I can ask the natural language questions and I can get right to that data and how it's related. I watch science fiction. I'm interested in science fiction. The system should recommend not just movies about science fiction, the topic. For example, if I watch The Martian, I'd like to see other movies that mention Mars, right? That are similar.
Right.
Graph has all that information in there, so it's much more precise. Another example is social network. Let's say we're connected somehow on the social network. A graph can tell us that, but it can also tell us who's the closest connection that we share. That's a relatively hard query for a relational database to answer, but a graph can do it. Now, what does that mean for AI? When I ask a natural language question, I want two things. I want speed. I want the question to come back in 2 seconds, not 2 minutes. And I also want the detail behind it. So that's where a graph database is the perfect engine. So we just talked to Mimic a minute ago. We can answer a question, who's the security guard closest to this piece of equipment in a plant?
Right, and you're not going through other things because you pulled it all together. It's not just graphs, to be clear. It's any piece of information.
Oh yeah, so for example, Mimic has data underneath it, which is all your security guards, all your cameras, all your robots, right? How are they linked together? A graph can be the data foundation for that and can give you that information that they need then for their robotic techniques, right? They do all that cool AI stuff and how the cameras are able to recognize an object. But underneath, you still need to know how many cameras do you have? How many security guards do you have? What are they working on, right? We're the data foundation underneath. And since graph is now becoming the more popular data model compared to the old relational model, that's where we're seeing a lot of traction.
So you're a little bit ahead of the curve on that.
Yeah, we are. And NVIDIA is a huge partner of ours. They're finding all kinds of applications in their business for graph database.
So when I look at this, it looks incredible because you're connecting all these little pieces, totally divergent, not coming from the same ecosystem.
Well, these could be people, imagine in a social network, or they could be cameras in a factory. And we want to know how they're related specifically and what properties do they share? Because you and I might like movies. How can you figure that out? How can you understand that quickly? A graph is the best way to say, Tammy and I share an interest in movies.
So this is really a change for the industry.
Oh, totally.
Does it need to be an industry standard to be successful?
Anthony, talk about the different type of industries that we support.
Anywhere where you can model your data between relationships and entities can see a very strong use case for RangoDB. So for example, we talked about social networks, LinkedIn, Facebook. We're connected as friends on a social network. You could use a graph database. Financial industry, e-commerce. I sell products as a seller to consumers who buy those products. I can model that relationship via a graph database. Computational chemistry. I can model the atoms, the chemical elements that are related to each other as a graph database. We find often that you may think that you only need a tabular database or a relational database to work with real life data, but we all think through connections. So this, a RangoDB or graph databases are the intuitive way to think about data.
You're changing the whole world if everyone adopts this.
Yes, yeah.
Excellent, thank you so much.
Let's hear from Alec Gouet and Todd McDivitt from NTOP. They're using NVIDIA technologies to enable engineering teams to deliver advanced products to market at unprecedented speeds. Amazing.
I am now at the NTOP booth. And it's pretty exciting because I get to talk to Alec Gouet.
Yep.
And later I'm going to talk to Todd McDivitt. But Alec, let me start with you. And are you guys designers, engineers? What are you guys doing here? Looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, so NTOP's a computational design tool. And what that means in layman's terms is we're using physics and simulation to design components that typical CAD tools just can't create. So things like heat exchangers with complex baffling and structures inside, or even topology optimized parts, right? Those organic structures that are driven by load paths and materials and how those can be used in service.
So is that AI?
Yeah, so we do have AI built into NTOP through some of what we'll learn with Todd. We actually make a lot of the data sets through the parts and designs that are being used for things like machine learning.
So do you put all of that information in and then design it from there, or how does it work?
The big differentiator in NTOP is we can have something like a variable that's driving the design. So the engineer could say, hey, I want to move where this wing is in the fuselage of the plane. And just through simply, you know, moving a slider within NTOP, we don't need to rebuild that whole entire design process like in a CAD tool. We actually automatically update it as one implicit model, and that's one continuous volume that doesn't rely on edges and faces like a typical CAD tool. So we can produce these geometries exceptionally fast, and that's really helpful for a lot of these AI and ML initiatives where you need these data sets and models early on in the design phase.
Right, but how do you make sure, I don't know how you would say it in this environment, but hallucinations, is that a problem or a concern? Because the design has to be precise. You're talking about fuselages and other things. Todd McDivitt is going to explain my very poorly formed question.
Maybe I explain, give you an example and that answer your question for you. So imagine you're an aeronautical engineer and you have to design the next drone to deliver more water or fire retardant to the next forest fire. And you have to, the drone's got to fly further. It's got to carry more water or fire retardant. And you have to start from kind of a clean piece of paper on designing that, right? So that's what our tool is designed for, to help engineers iterate and design faster with higher fidelity designs, right? So this is an example that we've done of this drone. We've collaborated with Luminary Cloud on this example. And I'm going to just show you kind of what it's like in the day of an engineer working through this. Okay. I know it's a busy chart. Okay. I'm going to start on the left, but this is kind of the as-is process today for many people doing engineering design. They have an optimization loop that they go through many times, and then they have a CAD system and then a traditional simulation tool that kind of runs on traditional CPUs and has tapped out Moore's law, and the computationally expensive, and they take a long time to run and produce those results. So what we've done is we've replaced that CAD system with NTOP that runs, does our rendering on NVIDIA GPUs, and a simulation tool, Luminary Cloud, that also runs on NVIDIA hardware. And between the two of these technologies, we've reduced that design time from weeks to a couple of days. But that's not it. We've taken that a little bit further.
But yet there's more.
Yet there's more, Tammy. So this loop that I mentioned, the optimization loop, anything in that loop, if it takes time, whether it's an hour or an hour and a half, that can, because you do it so many times, be expensive. So what we've done next is we've front-loaded that computation of the simulation results up front, and we've used that to train a machine learning model that now evaluates in seconds or milliseconds. Then we've put that in the optimization loop, and now a design engineer can perform this design process in a matter of minutes or hours.
So is this for engineering companies or for anyone?
Yeah, this is for engineering organizations. So whether it's in the aerospace industry, automotive, medical, industrial, manufacturing, energy sectors, they would all go through a similar process and benefit from this technology.
And you're both engineers?
Yep.
And where are you guys out of?
Our company's headquarters in Manhattan. Funny place to start a software company.
Yes, but there are many amazing companies there, actually.
Yeah.
Do you ever do anything with Tech NYC?
We have a very close collaboration with NYU and Columbia.
Well, thank you both so much for being with us.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. NTOP, I like it. Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Washington AI Network podcast. Be sure to subscribe and join the conversation. The Washington AI Network is a bipartisan forum bringing together the top leaders and industry experts to discuss the biggest opportunities and the greatest challenges around AI. The Washington AI Network podcast is produced and recorded by Haddad Media. Thanks for listening.